Okay. That's a little reminder that I need to let you out in a timely manner. So if that goes off, I'm going to quit. Okay? Maybe I'll get done before that. How many of you have some kind of a pet? Ah, you do. I don't know what your pet is. But right now we have two little dogs about this big. They're Chihuahuas. And they're cute little rascals that one of them, one is a male, one's a female, and the female is one of the craziest dogs I have ever seen in my life. If she is upset about something, she may bite you if you're holding her. We went to my mother and dad's house, and they have a little dog there, and she didn't like that dog. You know, and my son Paul was holding, she turned around and bit him. I watched her here a while back, and she was running after a cat. Went to my father-in-law's house, and he has a cat. She was running after that cat, and our male dog came running up beside her, and she reached over and bit him on the way chasing the cat. She's a nutty dog. Now, the male dog is exactly the opposite. He's very laid back, and very sensitive. You know, you talk to him, and if you get on him, he just cows down. You get on her, and she jumps up on you. You know, just acts like you're complimenting her about something. She's just a crazy dog. But I used to raise beagles. You know what beagles are? Little black and white and tan dogs. They're about yay big, about this long. And they've been bred for generations to run rabbits. And I've always liked rabbit hunt. I always liked beagles. I figured if I raise beagles, my kids can have nice pets because they generally have a good disposition. I can have a sport activity that I enjoy hunting, and I even ran them in trials and things like that. I have a watchdog because they'll make a lot of noise if somebody comes around, and then I can sell them if I raise puppies to support the whole project. And I did. And I had good success in running them. I'd won 25 trophies, some of them this tall. And more than one time I won best dog in the Beagle Club and best in, one year I won best in the association, Beagle Clubs in about 5 states. And, so I had a lot of fun with that, but I learned a lot about dogs. I had a little dog that I called Rascal. He wasn't a rascal, though. He was a very, very good dog. And I would run him and spend time with him. And I got so I could say, Rascal, get in there. And he'd go into a pile of brush or whatever. He knew what get in there with that hand motion meant. And there were times when I'd say, now, Raz, you stay close, because sometimes he'd get way out ahead, and I didn't know where he was going, what he was doing, and so forth, and he'd come back. So there was a certain level of communication, but every once in a while, I had to let him know who was boss. Because every once in a while, I'd say something to him, he'd look over his shoulder at me, and then go do what he wanted to do. Had a bad car wreck, and a guy took him and worked him for a while for me. Well, when I got back, he wouldn't do anything I'd say. So I'd take my dog strap and I'd get him by his collar and I'd whip him good. And you might not like that, but you know what? That would tune him up and we'd get along good after that. You know, as much as I like that dog, dogs are still dogs and people are people. Dogs operate on instinct. It's in them to do whatever. A Chihuahua, it's in them to bark. If you don't believe that, you just get one and they'll prove to you it's in them to bark. But you know, those beagles have been bred for generations to run rabbits. And I'd have a litter of puppies and I had a fenced in backyard, but my next door neighbor didn't mow his yard. He mowed a little bit in the back, but the back he let grow up. Well, that was really good for me because the rabbits thrived back there, and then the part that he mowed, they would come out and eat out there because rabbits like to eat down, not up. So they like to eat green stuff. So if they're in tall stuff, they got to stand up and get the green. They like to come out where you mow. So I'd put my puppies in the backyard, and in the evening, the rabbits would come out over there in his yard, And so I'd slip out and put them over the fence. Well, when I'd put them over the fence, that rabbit would see me, and a lot of times it would take off. And those puppies seeing that rabbit start off, you know, into the bushes, they'd go tearing over there. And it was the most amazing thing to watch them run over there. And when they got to where the rabbit smell was, when they got there, they'd stick their little noses down almost. I've seen their hind legs come off of the ground. It's just like a magnet that drew them right down there. And you'd go over there and they sound like a little vacuum cleaner. They'd be going, they'd be sucking the scent up in their nose. And the next thing you know, their little tails would be going. And one of the most exciting things in the world, if you raise beagles, is the first time one of those little dogs throws his head up and goes, oh. Now, you probably think that sounds stupid, but I liked it. One time I went running with a bunch of guys and we had 18 dogs. You get 18 dogs after one rabbit, it is wild. I mean, it is wild. And I came home and said to my wife, I said, I just heard the beagle version of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. She looked at me and said, you're crazy. But you know what? I love animals. All my life I've had pets. I've had everything from an alligator and a parrot to dogs and cats and horses, and even had a cow or two when I was younger. I love animals. But while there are similarities, animals breathe air just like I do. Animals have to eat and drink to live just like I do. Animals have nervous systems and certain things like I do. While I like them, there is a difference between me and them that will never, never change. You know, the way you run rabbits with a beagle is based on what rabbits do. Now, you may think rabbits are little bunnies, you know, never hurt anything. Rabbits will kill each other. I caught two rabbits one time. I was going to take one of my puppies to get it started. And if I took a rabbit along with me, this guy had a 5-acre pen with tons of rabbits in there. So if you bought a rabbit, he'd give you $20 credit toward starting your dog if you took a rabbit with you. So I caught two rabbits. I was going to pay for the whole, it cost me $40 to get it started. And so I got two rabbits and put them in a pen about this big. The next morning I went out there and one of those rabbits had chunks bitten out of its ears, had hair pulled off all over it, all over it. It was cowered down in the corner like this, and the other rabbit was just running around acting like nothing ever happened. But he had about killed that other rabbit. Well, a rabbit has its territory. And the whole idea of beagles running rabbits is that if you jump this rabbit, he will run in a circle. But what he's really doing, he's running around the edge of his territory. He doesn't get over in the next guy's territory, because if he gets over there, that one will bite him. So he runs around the edge of his territory. Now, if you see where that rabbit jumps out, you can step back a ways and watch right there. And there's a good chance that that rabbit will run ahead of that dog. And if the dog doesn't push it too hard, it'll run in a circle and sometimes jump right back in the same little nest that it jumped out of. I've seen it happen many times. Now, if you keep on pushing it, eventually it gets into the fear and flight mode. And it'll run out of its territory. But at first, it runs that little circle. And the way you hunt rabbits, you don't watch where the dog is. The rabbit's not anywhere near the dog. That rabbit is way out ahead of that dog. So you get an idea what direction the rabbit's going. And you know if the dog's over here, the rabbit's over here. And you start watching little openings and bare places. And that rabbit will come jumping along. And you watch him do tricks. I don't mean tricks like tricks to make you laugh. I mean, they will try to trick that dog. I've watched a rabbit jump along like this and then turn around and deliberately make a great big jump to the side. And then it'll take another big jump and another and then take off. And you watch the dog come up there, and when that he's running on this track where this rabbit's been running, and he runs right on past that place where they made that big jump. Well, then he suddenly realizes the scent's gone. So he comes back and he finds the last place he smelled the scent. And then if he's a good dog, he'll begin to circle around, and the rabbit jumped way over here, so he circles and he circles and he gets out here and works, and all of a sudden he hits that place and he barks, but then that rabbit's made a couple of other jumps, so it'll take a little bit for him to get it straightened out, and eventually he gets back on the track and off he goes. I've seen rabbits run in a creek, run in the water, jump along in the water, jump, if it's narrow, jump across, go out the other side deliberately to throw the dog off. So they've got a certain level of intelligence. But you know what? If rabbits were like people, they'd have a rabbit convention and they'd say, you know, we need to stop running in these circles. When a dog gets after me, you need to let me run in your circle. And when any dog starts barking, we need to just clear out of the country. And if you do get run by a dog, you need to watch out because there's a guy somewhere with a gun. And if you jump out and you stand up to look around to see where the dog is, he's liable to blow your head off. But they don't. They never learn. They never change. They operate by instinct. Certain level of intelligence, yes. But instinct is their basic mode of operation. You're not like that. You're a human being. Now, there are certain things you do by instinct. If I take a paper wad and throw it right in your face, you don't have to say, hey, hand, get up there and stop that paper wad. You just go. You know? If you're pitching when you play softball, and you pitch the ball and the guy grabs that ball and it comes whizzing right at your head. I was pitching here a while back, and I'd been pitching to some younger kids, so I'd moved up. This bigger kid came up and I didn't even think about it. And he caught that ball and hit it straight at my head. The only thing I had a chance to do was like that. And it hit the bottom of my ear and the top of my shoulder. That ball went, that softball went right by there. Grazed the side of my neck. I got to thinking, boy, if he'd have hit me here, I wouldn't have had to worry about ever preaching again. He'd have pushed my voice box out the back of my neck as hard as he hit that ball. Now I forgot what I was telling you. Anyway, we have instincts. That's what it was. We have instincts where we just sometimes react to things. You know what? God gave you a mind. God gave you a mind. Now, there are lots of people who will tell you that you are the product of evolution. Now, you may think, oh, that's just a big science thing. No, it's more than that. It has implications into the spiritual world. Because if you are just a part of animal life that has developed across millions of years, and we just kept on developing a little longer than the animals did, then you're an animal. And you know, lots and lots and lots of people in our society today will tell you and treat you like an animal. They'll say, you know, you didn't come from anywhere. You're not made in the image of God. You're just a product of chance. So whatever happens in your life, you can blame it on the people that created you, your father and mother. And your reactions in life are just instincts. You know, you may think that the idea of you dressing modestly and things like that, girls, is just a church thing, but it's not. It's not just a church thing. You see, animals mate and breed and produce offspring. Rabbits will do it 4 or 5 times in one summer. God has put together a system where owls and hawks eat rabbits, foxes eat rabbits, all kind of things eat rabbits, and I hunted them. And so lots of rabbits are produced. So one pair of rabbits can have as many, if they have 4 or 5 babies and they have them 4 or 5 times in the summer, one pair of rabbits can produce 20 or 25 more rabbits in the summer. But you know what? As human beings, God made you to find a person, and then God made you to commit yourself to that person. And that's to be a lifetime commitment. And God did not want us to act like animals. In other words, one of the reasons we ask young people to be modest is so we can not live like animals. You don't want girls, you don't want guys just to marry you for the way you look. You won't look that way forever. What are you going to do when you change? You guys may be macho men. I got news for you, buddy. You get to a certain age and it'll slide from up here down here. And then you'll hold your breath to button your coat. Yeah, that's right. And then tragedies happen. Accidents come. Faces get disfigured. Wrinkles begin to come. You know, my hair used to be brown. In my Bible, if you ask me, I'll show it to you. I got a picture of my wife and me in 1972. I got brown hair, no glasses. I look a lot different. Don't have any wrinkles on my face. I showed it to Brother Owens the other night. And he said, wow, you look like a boy. Well, I was a boy. You know, God doesn't want us to act like animals. One of the reasons we have laws is so we won't act like animals. So you get angry at somebody else. My wife, we take our two dogs with us in the summer because we don't really have any choice. Somebody's got to take care of them. And so she went to my daughter's house. I went on to Colorado for a camp meeting. And my daughter has a Chihuahua that is a sister of our male dog. Came out of the same litter. We've got this other little female. We're going to raise some. But this little female and that female didn't like each other. They are about the same color. They are about the same size. But they did not like each other. From the minute that dog of ours was in the house, that other dog, you ever see a Chihuahua show its teeth? Big old eyes, you know, her big old eyes, just, you could tell she was mad as a wet hen. And we thought, well, they'll get used to each other, so we let ours loose. You know, just crazy. I mean, they were going wild. So we put ours in a cage and hoped for the best. So we kept them apart from each other. Well, one day my wife had ours out in the house and my daughter didn't know it. And she let hers out in the back. And my wife's standing there and suddenly this hurricane comes down the hall. And this huge, I mean, they were going at it. The only thing that saved them is they were on a slick hardwood floor and they couldn't get any trash. Here they are trying to tear each other up and can't stand up. And my wife said, I was about to die laughing. And I thought, oh, no, they're going to kill each other. And then she was laughing. Oh, no, they're going to kill each other. So she's down there trying to pull them apart, and they're biting her. We had our dog in a cage. And once in a while, if you don't get that cage snapped shut just right, the door will pop open. So the other dog was out, and our dog went, rah! And the door popped open. And that dog, that other one ran inside that cage. Here they are in this cage. That cage is walking over the floor. You know, they're ready to kill each other. They're animals. But you're not an animal. You're made in the image of God. Let me give you some scriptures that talk about that. In Genesis chapter 1, the Lord talked about making all of the animal kingdom. He made the beast of the earth after their kind, everything that creeps after its kind. And God looked at all that and said, it's good. And that's great. Then God said in verse 26 of chapter 1, let us make man in our own image. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the cattle, and over all the earth and every creeping thing. And God made man in the image of God, created he him. Male and female created he them. God made man as the cap sheaf of his creation. Not only did he do that, but there are many places in the scripture that talk about God having a specific plan and purpose for us. Psalm 139 says, I was formed in the inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My frame is not hidden from thee. When I was made in secret and curiously wrought, thine eye did see my unformed substance. In thy book were written all of my members, even the days that were ordained for me. In other words, it says, God developed you a piece at a time. God put you together. You know, the amazing thing about that is, if you study science, you're going to study something called DNA. That's the abbreviation for it. But DNA, if you've ever seen a picture of those cells, those molecules, it's like a spiral ladder. And the amazing thing about it is, they say, if you could take that ladder apart and look at the individual parts, you could find everything about you. You could find what color your eyes would be, whether your nose would be long and pointed or short and flat, whether yours had these little things on the bottom. Do yours have these? Some people's are hooked all the way down. Mine have these little floppy things. You could find in that DNA molecule whether I would have these things. Whether you'd be right-handed or left-handed. How tall you would be. Whether you'd have long arms or little short arms. Whether your feet would be like sled runners or small. It's all there. And the amazing thing about it is, none of it is an accident. Everything about us is designed by God. Now, somebody's going to say, well, why didn't God make me as beautiful as her? Or why did God let this child be born with handicap? Now, sin enters the picture. And that's, you know, I went to hear a geneticist speak here a while back. And he was talking some years ago. And he was talking about birth defects and deformities and things. You know, one of the saddest things I ever did in my life was go through Children's Hospital and see some of those kids that are messed up. You know, seeing kids with an eye here and an eye here. You know, and cleft palates that go clear up into their nose. And some of them born, in fact, when our son was born, we'd gone to a childbirth class and a young couple was in it with us. And they had their baby the same night we had our son. My wife came in, delivered our son, went to the room, and this girl was in there when we came, and she was in there when we left. Well, eventually, she landed in that same room. And the sad, sad thing was, they didn't bring the baby in right away. And her husband came in, and you could hear them quietly talking and crying over there. And when they did bring that baby in, it had one arm that only came to the elbow, and there was one little finger on the end of that elbow. Well, you can imagine, you know, it was painful to listen to them talk on the phone to people. So how's the baby? Oh, the baby's okay. It's okay. And he was a healthy little guy. The only thing, he wasn't made right. And I went to hear this geneticist, and he said 90%, listen to this, 90% of birth defects that we see in America come from these sources: alcohol, tobacco, drug use, immorality in living, that is, living anyway and having sex with anything and anybody. Those four things cause the vast majority of birth defects that happen. You want to have a healthy baby? Live clean. Don't live the way so many young people are living today. Don't begin to get involved with things just because other kids are. You not only hurt yourself, you have the potential of hurting your children. But you know, God has a specific purpose for us. Now, if you believe in evolution, they tell you you just develop as an animal. And so you just do what comes naturally. So why bother to get married? Why bother to be responsible? Just live for the moment, because you're going to die and go back to dirt. I read a book one time about heaven, and it said there were dogs and horses and things like that. Well, the Bible talks about white horses in heaven. But I don't expect to see these chihuahuas in heaven. If they go to heaven, something's going to happen to them, I can tell you that. Because heaven won't be heaven too long if you got those dogs there. Especially not if my daughter's dog comes too. We'll have all kinds of problems. Of course, if the Lord can make the lion lay down with the lamb, he could probably make two chihuahuas lay down side by side and not kill each other, couldn't he? So when we bury an animal, it doesn't go to heaven. It doesn't go to hell. Even if it's a mean dog, you just bury it and it goes back to the dust. Now, that doesn't mean we don't hurt. We used to have a shaggy old dog, call him Sparky. That was his name before I got him. He'd come from the dog pound. Somebody had rescued him. And they rescued him for this little red-headed girl. But she wouldn't take care of him, and her dad got so sick. I was there one day, and he said, "I'm going to give you that dog if you want it." I said, "Oh, he's a cute dog." He said, "You have him." I didn't know, but he was giving away that girl's dog. Next time I saw her, she didn't like me. She about bit me. Because I took her dog. But I liked that dog. He was one of the fastest dogs I have ever seen in my life. I have seen him sneak up on birds and take off and jump up in the air and catch them as they tried to take off. I remember one day we had a new water meter reader. And he came into our backyard. That was the wrong thing to do. That dog was asleep on our back porch, and there was a basement, you know, one of those inclined basement openings that you open the door. He's laying up against that, and this guy comes in the gate. He walks around, and he's about 4 feet away from that dog when that dog wakes up and sees him. You have never seen a man dance like that man. I mean, his arms were going. His legs were going. He was swinging a book and swinging this meter thing. He was yelling and stomping and going. I heard this awful commotion. Here's my dog. Here's this guy, you know, going every which way. I went, nearly pulled the door off the hinges. Ran out and grabbed that dog, tore me. Get out of there! And he did. Last thing I saw of him, he was going around that side of the house saying, "Why didn't they put that in that book? They're supposed to write down that there's a dog." That dog was so fast. I'll never forget one time. He was in our backyard in the house. And there was an old cistern back there that they'd poured concrete for the top of it. And I don't know what happened, but we were having an awful storm. And a stroke of lightning came and hit that concrete. I think there was metal inside of it. They just cemented over this metal lid. It hit that concrete and concrete splattered everywhere. Scared that dog. I have never seen an animal run as fast as he did. He ran to the backyard fence. He ran back up and back. He was tearing around like a maniac. It scared him to death. From then on, every time there was lightning, that dog was in a panic. But you know, I moved to another house, had a great big yard. And I tied him up at first because there was a busy road out in front. Just drove him crazy. And he'd get to the end of, he'd stand up on the end of the chain and just paw like that with his front paws. And I'd go out and rub his ears and say, "Sparky, I let you go, but you get out on that road." Finally, my neighbor said, "Why don't you let that dog go? He's going to go crazy on the end of that chain." So I let him go. And I let him run around up in the back. And anytime he'd get in front, I'd really be mean to him. "You get back or don't you come up here. You get yourself killed." You know, I was giving him one for it. Running him back in the back. And he did pretty well. Until they started building a new, like a Walmart, it's a different name store, but big store like that. And these big old cement trucks were coming up the road, and there was a hill leading up to our house. So they'd come up there real slow. And boy, he didn't like those cement trucks. And more than one time I've seen him run out there to the edge of the road, just barking at those cement trucks. And I said, that dog's going to get killed. And sure enough, one day I was looking out the window, and one came the other way, and he went tearing out there after that truck. He was an empty one going back. And he crossed this lane just in time for a guy to hit him, and that dog just flipped in the air, landed, flopped, that's it. Landed flopping on the side of the road. Went out there and picked him up. This sounds stupid, but if you ever loved an animal, you know, I really cared about that dog. I picked him up. And here he is just broken, dead. Will you let me tell you one funny story about him? I told you I quit with it. Can I tell you one funny story? He got out all the time. He was smart. He could get up against two sides of a fence and crawl over. He would dig under. You leave anything open, he was gone. And we had a little short, shrimpy guy who was a dog catcher. I didn't like him. I don't know why I didn't like him. I didn't like him before this, but I didn't like him. He'd wear his hat kind of off his side of his head, you know, kind of a Barney Fife sort of a guy. And our dog got out. And he never could catch it. And that ate him alive. That just ate him up. Because he was a pro at catching those dogs. And one morning, he'd been out several times, gotten away from that guy. And I'd put him back in the yard. He couldn't come in my yard and get him, you know. I already had him back in the yard. And I put bricks under the fence so he wouldn't dig out and all that stuff. One morning, I was standing at the kitchen window. And I looked down the street. And there came my dog. Except he was just kind of running all over the place like this. Like he was drunk. I couldn't figure out what in the world was wrong with him. I thought maybe he got in somebody's garbage and got in some liquor or something, you know. But then I saw my little dog catcher friend coming around behind me. He had a little gun in this hand. He'd shot my dog with a tranquilizer. And he had a net on a big long pole. He was going to get him, you know. Well, the dog had laid down. And when the dog saw him coming, it jumped up and just kind of flopped along and ran around behind some houses. And I saw him turn around and go back to getting his truck. And when he did, I was barefooted. I ran out the door, ran down behind those houses, grabbed that dog and all the way home. I said, you idiot, I'm trying to keep you out of the dog pen. Nobody will like you. You're ugly. I'll kill you if you get in that dog pen. You've got to stay in this yard. I put him back in the yard. Ran back in the house. Here came the dog catcher man. He came up on my porch and he said, where's that black and white dog? I said, oh, you mean that one in the backyard? Yeah, but it wasn't in the backyard, he said. I said, he is now. He said, let me tell you something. That dog's been running around. I wanted to laugh in his little shrimpy face. That dog's been running around. And he said, I'm going to get him. I said, not in the backyard, you're not. He said, I'm taking that dog to the dog pound. And I said, well, that'll be great. I got two kids that love that dog. How are you going to explain to them? And I said, and besides, I can show you. Come here, let me show you. And I took him around and showed him where I'd worked on the fence. I said, now there, right there is where he got out. So I'm going to dig that out and put some bricks in there. So he won't get out again. He said, I'll give you one more chance. So at that time I said, okay, I'll take the one more chance. So he left. I went around there and plucked that old dog by his ears and I said, you dumbbell, I'm trying to save your life. You gotta quit getting out, do you understand? He said, eye roll back in his head, you know. That tranquilizer's in full effect. So we had many trials and tribulations. Now I'm carrying a dead dog. And I didn't even stop to tell my wife. I just got a shovel out of the garage and walked up the hill. And all the way up the hill, I'm carrying this dead, limp dog and a shovel, and I'm crying. I know that's stupid, but that's all right. That's what happened. And I said, you dumb dog. All your life I've been looking out for you. trying to help you and take care of you and feed you. And you're ugly. Nobody wanted you. You were in a dog pound. I tried to take care of you and you wouldn't listen to me. That dog catcher nearly got you. I was recounting all of his history going up that. He's dead. But I'm getting it all out of my system. I got him up there and I dug a hole. Not a very deep hole. Dug a hole. Picked that old dog up. Dead, broken. That car hit him. Probably broke every bone in his body. Just a thud. I could hear it in the house with the door closed. And I looked at that dog and I said, this had never happened if you listened to me. You always had enough to eat. You always had water. We loved you and played with you. Not because you were pretty, but just because we loved you. But now you've gone and blown it. You're dead. I buried him in the hole. Covered him back up. Stood there and cried, leaning on the shovel. I got over it. We've had a lot of other dogs since then. But you know what? God has a purpose for your life. And some of you get to chasing the cars of this world. You think you know what you're doing. You think you can run fast and be quick enough to get out of the way. Somewhere out there, if you keep on that way, something's going to get you. And out there sitting along the road of life, with your life all mangled and torn up, you're going to be wondering, how did I ever get here? How did I ever get from Binghamton Camp to here? And if you listen, the Lord will come up beside you and say, you know what? I love you. I made you. I never planned for life to go this way. I plan to give you peace and joy and rest and purpose. And you wouldn't let me. Now your life's all mangled. But if you'll give me the chance, I'll put the broken pieces back together. And I'll give you purpose. You know, the sad thing is there's some people who never live to have the broken pieces put back together. Some people that their life is so messed up, they just give up and think they... You know what the best thing is? Realize now, you're not an animal. You're made in the image of God. God's got a purpose and a plan for you, and I promise you, I remember when I was your age and the devil said, oh, if you follow God, you'll never have any friends, you'll never have any fun. That's the biggest lie you've ever heard. You'll never find anybody that you think is beautiful. I'll show you a picture of my wife. She's one of the most beautiful women, and you'd say the same thing. I've had the privilege of traveling across the world because I served Jesus. My kids and I have been in every one of the lower 48 states doing God's work, traveling like I did this summer. I got to go to Colorado this summer and drive up across the Rampart Range, and just right there beside me is Pikes Peak. I got to see things that many people never get to see in their whole life. I've driven up to Mount St. Helens, driven down the California coast, into the Grand Canyon, through the Petrified Forest. Because I serve Jesus. Let me tell you something today. If you listen to the devil, he'll say you're just an animal and you'll live and die like an animal. But if you'll serve God, life can have purpose and meaning. There's a place where you fit. Where you fit. God made you to fit there. If God worries about these little flippy things on your ears, God cares about what you do with your life. If God cares about what color your eyes are, God cares about what you do with yourself. Let him have his way. He's your designer. He made you. He knows everything about you. And best of all, he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if you'll let me, I'll come get you and take you where I am. Now, you don't have to do that. You can run your own life. But I'll tell you, all you have to do is look around and look at the litter of wreckage of young people that sit right in these pews and took their own way and missed God's plan. And that's enough to make you call a rabbit convention. And say, man, we better not do that. You know, sometimes we don't think any more than those rabbits do. And they hop around and get their heads blown off. But you're a human. God wants you to think. God wants you to give him your life. And if you will, he'll make your life a blessing. He'll make your life a joy. It pays to serve Jesus. If I had it to do all over again, the only thing I'd do different is start sooner, get less scars on my soul from sin, and serve God better every step of the way. I'd do it all over again. Okay, Andrew, I'm done. Let's bow our heads together. Lord, there are young people right here today that you have plans and purposes and designs for them. And the devil comes at this time of their life and wants to knock them off track, get them going every which direction. And his goal is to get as much damage done that'll be as long lasting as possible. But Lord, we're here today because we want to help them give their lives to Jesus, hear your voice and follow your direction. Find the right person. Find the right place. Do the right thing. Have peace and joy and few regrets. And I pray that you'd help today as we try to do that, as they try to do that for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.